Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Welcome to Some Things Off. I'm Rebecca Lavoy. This is the podcast where we talk about things that are off in true crime, in the Karen Reed extended universe, but also other crime. I'm here in my living room studio today. One of my dogs is very sick and you might hear some gagging, and another one is barking a lot. So it's going to be an adventurous show, but it's going to be mostly adventurous because we have a very special guest on the show today. I know that's why you're here. I know you're not here to see me by myself without Mel, just chatting. But I'm just going to go ahead and play the intro and then we will hear, we'll introduce our special guest. See you all in a minute. Hello again. We have a Twitter account now. We are on Twitter as at Mel and Rebecca. So we are not just our individual handles anymore. So I don't hear any more complaints about the fact that we don't have a show Twitter. That exists as of yesterday. So please follow us there. Please consider sending a Venmo or Cash App to the addresses on the bottom. Of course, become a member and you'll be eligible to come to our members only streams. We had a fantastic one the other night. You can watch that if you remember, with my friend Bethany Na, who's a civil lawyer, who gave her very funny takes on the civil cases that are going on in the Karen Reed extended universe. And that's about it for the business I'm going to subject you to, because I just want to bring our guest on, the woman, the myth, the legend, the angel of this world, Miss Emily C. Hello, Emily.
Good morning. That introduction is not accurate, but thank you. I appreciate that.
How have you managed to stay so Emily C throughout all of everything that has gone on, especially with what comes out at you online?
I think it's just who I am. I don't know. Like, I find it really hard to stomach a lot of the drama that goes on around here. So I try to neutralize it or avoid it altogether. It finds me, honestly. I'm never seeking it out. I can promise you that.
Same. I mean, I think that like swatting away negativity on Twitter is one of my favorite activities, only because it's so easy. It's so easy. Like, it's so easy to not engage. It's so easy to say one thing and then never have to see somebody's Twitter again. It's just, I don't understand why folks complain about it when it's just so easy to avoid. It's opt-in drama.
I mean, I think that the people that are involved in it don't want to avoid it, which is great. No, I'm glad you guys have an outlet. You have a nice outlet online that you can engage in all the drama that you want to. And it's kind of half, it's like fake. It's not real life.
It's not real life. It's very real to them, though. I mean, they're watching this right now. Some of them, you know that, right?
Hi, friends.
Hi. I welcome all friends. So Deb, let me know a little bit about you, because I got to know you during the second Karen Reed trial. I mean, got to know you, meaning became very familiar with your content, because you were writing these incredible diary entries, fake diary entries from Hank Brennan online that were like my favorite accessory content to the whole thing. But you didn't start as a content creator making stuff about court cases. So talk a little bit about who you are.
Okay. I'm Emily C. I was a kindergarten teacher for 15 years. I taught in the same classroom in Boston. My first kindergarten babies are now in college.
Wow.
I thought I was going to be, kind of crazy. So I taught pre-K for 2 years before I taught kindergarten. I did Teach for America out in LA. And my favorite student from my very first year teaching just graduated from college and is going to nursing school. And she sent me a picture that her At her graduation, she had, they put like a picture of her graduating next to a picture, like a baby picture. And it was a picture from my classroom that I took. And I like remembered, I like still feel like I remember that moment. I remember taking that picture. And now it's like at her graduation. So I thought I was going to be a teacher forever. I absolutely loved teaching. In 2023, my son was diagnosed with autism. He was 2.5. We made the decision for me to leave the classroom, stay home with him, focus on getting him like the services that he needed and just be a mom. So he's my student now. And at this, I live in Norfolk County. So
amazing.
That I was now at home. I also went back to school during that time, got a degree in library science, thought maybe I would go back to school as a school library teacher at some point. I had some PTSD going back into schools after that.
Oh, really? Yeah.
That's a whole other story. Yeah. But during that time, I was at home and now had a lot more free time. And that was when the Karen Reed trial was ramping up. So I started following everything I could find about it. I didn't know that Twitter existed then. I didn't know that LawTube existed then. So I was just like on TikTok making videos like into the abyss for myself. And then I found Twitter found me, and the rest is history.
Yeah. Yeah. So you are a resident of Norfolk County. What are your thoughts about being, I just want to know, what is that like? Like, what do your friends say? What does your community think? Like, what do you feel about the fact that these people protect and serve you and represent you? Just thoughts.
So those are kind of two separate things, because I think people are kind of surprised to know that like, this feels like a really big deal in this community, because we're so like in it. A lot of people don't even know like who our current district attorney is. Mm. Like Proctor kind of broke through to the mainstream, but not in a way where it was like, oh, the Massachusetts State Police are corrupt. It was more like, I heard about that one cop that was like texting dirty things. Like, whoa, that's crazy. I don't think it has broken through the way that I would like it to, that this problem is systemic and this problem stems from the people that are in power, and that we have the power to change that. And if we all got as outraged as I feel about it, that we could really make a difference. I'm trying to make that breakthrough. And how I feel about these people being in power, like, it freaks me out. In one of Aiden's recent filings, it came out that Yuri Buchanek had been like promoting the Testify campaign, the like defendingthetruth.org, on his personal social media, and had posted something like 10 times about it. And then that same organization was the one who like doxed me and made a video attacking me and mobilized all of these people to kind of like come for me. And it's like, these are supposed to be the police that I can count on if I have an emergency. And I shouldn't be worried that like, if there were an emergency, I have to take a second and pause and think like, should I call 911 or not? Because what if it's Yuri Buchanek that shows up at my house? Like,
yeah,
that's,
and those shoes. You also want to see those shoes.
And the tight pants.
Oh, I know. Oh my God. The tailoring that these guys never got is just so unfortunate. It really is.
You think so, their paychecks are enough that you would think that they could afford a good tailor.
They make bank. They make bank. But it's actually the clothing thing is actually kind of sort of systemic, like not just, it goes beyond the police. Like if you look at men in the media, men in sports, it's like, stop it with the tight clothes. Stop it. Like, we don't want to see that. We don't want to see that. So you've always been, though, I mean, the one thing that I've seen with your materials that you've shared online, especially from your teaching days, is you've always been like a little bit of a social justice warrior. You were having your students raise money for the ACLU. You have materials about Juneteenth. Like, you, like the idea about being involved in your community, about wanting to make things better, about the truth, about justice, that's not new to you. Where does that come from in you?
That's a good question. It just kind of feels like it's I've always said, like, I kind of live in a, my mind is like sunshine and rainbows, where it's like, I can picture a world where like everybody gets along. And like, unfortunately, that's not the world that we live in. And I would like to make it the world that we live in. And that was one thing I really loved about teaching. I felt like I actually had the power to kind of like create the world that I envisioned. And like my classroom was just this like happy little utopia that you walked into. And it's like, oh, like we're all different and we all get along and we respect each other's differences and we ask questions to understand each other's differences. And like, we want to make the world a better place for everybody. And then like we step out of the classroom and it's like, ah.
Yeah. And now, but now it's coming in the classroom. I see my daughter is a teacher. She's a third grade teacher and she now does English language learners in Nashua, New Hampshire. She tells us all the time when she was starting to student teach a few years ago, it was just so different than it is now because now, well, first of all, some of her kids disappear, which is terrifying, but also the parents have, some of them aren't parents. They pretend to be parents. They have a lot of feelings about the work teachers are doing and about schools. And it doesn't feel anymore like, you know, you're doing this quiet, lovely work where you can create a utopia because all these forces come into it. Does that discourage you from wanting to go back?
There's a lot of things that discourage me from wanting to go back. But yeah, that is one of them.
Yeah. It's really tough. I mean, in New Hampshire here, we have a piece of legislation that passed about, you know, turning in teachers that you think are like indoctrinating kids, like the divisive concepts law. And for a while, there was like a bounty of like $500 if you turned in a teacher that was, and it's like, what is happening?
Right.
These used to be the most respected people in our society and just so quickly turned over. And I really feel like teachers do the Lord's work. I could never do what you do and what you did do for your career. I mean, the idea of, and I say this to Lily all the time, the idea of starting a year, going through the whole year with a whole group of kids and then starting again, like I could never do a job like that. I know it probably gets easier over time but it's like you literally are starting again over and over and over again. That's like a crazy cadence to me.
See, that was actually one of the things that I loved about teaching because I always said, like, I feel like other careers don't get like a reset the way that teachers do, where you get to kind of be like, okay, like fresh, brand new, fresh start all over again. Like, what am I going to do differently? What am I going to keep the same? What did I learn from this group of kids that I'm going to not do next year? What did I learn from this group of kids that I want to prioritize next year? And I feel like there are very few careers where you get to like kind of see your own growth in a, like my first year teaching was a disaster. Like I had no idea what I was doing. And then to be able to look back on that a couple of years later, when I just say to my kids, like, okay, everybody go line up. And they just like quietly go get in line. I'm like, I did it.
Yes. Worked. You're a classroom manager now. I know that management is like a big part of it, right? Just like doing the quiet coyotes and getting people to little kids to get their shit together. Like I remember when my kids went to preschool and kindergarten, I live in a very small town and we have like really good schools here and it's very cute. It's all very, very cozy and cute. And my whole thing was when my oldest son came home from preschool and knew how to tie his own damn shoes, I was like, and put his own coat on. Like he could put on his own coat. He could put his own boots on. He'd get ready himself, ready to go outside. I'm like, if you learn nothing else in school ever, like this is the greatest thing. Cause it all of a sudden this thing that I had to manage myself for 15 minutes every morning, something he could just do. And I'm like, that's why I could ever be a teacher. Cause I can't imagine doing that with 20 people at the same time. Like that's.
It was always so funny to me when I would have parent teacher conferences and I would be like, I'd see the parents start to tie the kid's shoe and I'd be like, wait, like, hold on, you tie your own shoe. And the parents would be like, what? He doesn't know how to do that. And I'm like, he does at school. And then 2 seconds later they tie their shoe. And the parent is like, I had no idea that they knew how to do that.
Yeah. Yeah. My kid never talked in school. I found out like he was not talking for the first 6 months of each of his years. And I didn't know that because he was very talkative at home. So when you first started hearing about the Karen Reed case, and you started watching the trial. Were you one of those people who made excuses so that you could be available to watch the trial? Like, did you do that?
I just had an earbud in all day long. At that time, my son was really, it was like the most beautiful. I like think back on this time of my life and I'm like, oh my God, it was so nice. He was really obsessed with throwing rocks at the pond. And it was like, a beautiful May day, and he would throw rocks for like hours, and I would just have one earbud in sitting there. He's throwing rocks. I'm sitting in the sun listening to Jen McCabe lie her face off. And I was like, ah, life is good.
Yeah. I'd love to know what you think about some of these characters. So Jen McCabe, as you know, my feelings about her, they're not complicated, but I do feel like a lot of what she has done stems from her need to control everything all the time. Like, I've often said that she's the soccer mom who, even when it's not her turn to bring snacks, she brings snacks because she doesn't trust that the mom who's supposed to bring the snacks will bring the snacks. It's probably always passive aggressively like, oh, it's okay, kids. I have my peanut butter and bread in the back and I have orange slices. Mm-hmm. I knew that Rebecca wasn't going to come through. That's my take on her. So that when all this happened, she was like, I can fix this. I know what to do. I've been this mother. I've been this person my whole life. So what do you think is her driving force? What do you think about her?
Well, first, this is like a tangential answer to your question, but first, kind of like big picture, I don't blame any of them. I don't blame any of the like house defendants for anything that they did.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
This is not new for people to try to like cover up something bad that they've done. Like every single criminal trial I've ever watched, somebody lies about what they did and then their lies are exposed through a solid investigation. Like think about Donna Adelson's case. She's like, no, I didn't, blah, blah, blah. And then they're like, actually, yes, you did, because X, Y, Z, these dots connect. There you go. It is, I blame every single part of this on the police. Like this is the police's fault that like we're trying to piece together what happened because the police didn't investigate. That being said, I think Jen McCabe is probably a really fun friend if you're on her good side. Like I bet she's just like a really magnetic. She has something that like I can't quite wrap my head around, because the way that she's been able to like infiltrate Carrie's brain and make her little pet, like, is impressive. Like, I bet she's a really dynamic, like, cool, fun person to be around when you're on
Carrie,
the good side.
Carrie was subjected to testimony about how Jen talked about her behind her back.
And then Carrie was like, la, 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 la.
Carrie was like, yeah, but she got that tooth fixed, though. She's a great friend. She's a great friend. Can you imagine, like, And did you watch the interview with Carrie that Mel made me watch?
Yes.
Okay. So Mel made me watch this interview with Carrie, and I can't, her whole shtick of I'm so tough, you really think I could be influenced, blah, 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 blah. And meanwhile, the way she's talking about like her family and the way she's talking, like she is clearly the most trod on person. Sorry, that's my dog gagging. It's disgusting. If you can hear, he's 15. She is clearly the most like trod on and so used to being stepped on person that she doesn't even know the difference. And I only feel for her because you can tell that she has been waiting for this moment her whole adult life in this community. Like she was on the outside a little bit. And now she's on the inside of the thing she was on the outside of before. And I think for her, that must be like, that must have been the goal at some point. And she made it, right? She's here. Right. She's got friends now. And the
on
friends
that
of the
M. William Phelps podcast, there was an interview with Carrie, and she said something like, I had only met Jen McCabe like one other time in the bathroom at a sporting event or something. And it's like, why do you remember that? Like,
exactly.
That really stood out to you that much that like, you were waiting for this moment to like be in with her. Like, okay, well, yes. I'm glad you got your goal.
But it also underlines this idea that their names are known and they are known in this town. And it's funny. When I first started hearing about this story, I'm like, Canton must be a town the size of my town, because I have 6,000 people in my town. I don't know everybody, but certainly when my kids were growing up, especially, and you see other moms, like you at least start recognizing faces. Oh, that's so-and-so's mom. That's so-and-so's mom. That's so-and-so's mom. There's like one, I can remember one time when I first moved to this town in 2003, I started taking like aerobics class at the church. There was like this little fitness lady who had aerobics at the church. I don't go to church, but it was like in the church rec hall. We have one of those, like, this is my town, is like White Steeple in the middle. Like, it's very New England. I live right by an apple orchard. It's insane.
I can picture it.
But there was this one mom who was clearly the queen mom. And I was always very intimidated by her. She was very beautiful. I always heard she had a personal trainer. There's a lot of rich people where I live too. I always heard she had a personal trainer. She's very beautiful. She seemed very confident. She had four kids. I had two. Her kids are super athletic, all this stuff. And she was always the mom that I was a little bit like cowed by, only because she clearly had her shit together so much more than I did, right? It never would have occurred to me to be like, I would do anything for her to be my friend. Like, that didn't, that thought wasn't there. My thought was, she's got her shit together. I, at least when I'm in her presence, want to appear like I have my shit together. Cause that's embarrassing when you feel like a slob next to somebody like this. But the idea that like she could pull me in and just tell me a bunch of stuff about, and I would be like, oh yeah, without any critical thinking of my own. Hard to imagine. Very, very hard to imagine.
But then I also wonder, like, I feel the same way, but then I'm like, but I guess we never know how we would react in these situations.
Of course
like,
not.
I'm sure that Carrie probably thought the same thing and still says the same thing. So it's like some kind of witchcraft happened there where it's like, I don't know. I texted Smith Beningo recently and I was like, I need you to do a show on like the psychology of like what happens when somebody infiltrates your brain like this.
Yes. It's a course of control disguised as friendship. Yeah. Carrie's interesting too, because I believe she believes what she's saying. Unlike other
100%.
People, I believe she believes. I actually believe that some of the McAlberts have come to believe their version of the truth over time, like, because they've said it so many times. The thing that Carrie is funny about her to me is that when you tell stories, I can tell the same story about something that happened to me 20 times to 20 different people, and it will change over time because you realize these parts are funnier or these parts land better. Or this part makes me look really bad, so I might cut that part. You know what I mean? It's like she doesn't realize she's doing that in front of the world. She's done it in front of like, and Jen is the same way, but Jen is more calculated about it. I think Jen is more like trying to make it fit because she knows what she's saying isn't true. Carrie believes what she's saying is true. She has a story that she is now a character in. She tells it over and over and over again. But she told one version in front of a grand jury, and she told one version to the cops, and she told one version at trial one and another version at trial two. And on a whole other version during that interview she did, like, we can all see all of this, Carrie. Like, we all see this. Like, you're not, this is not private life. I don't think she gets that.
I don't know what she gets, honestly. Like, I can't even begin to kind of speculate like what is going on in there. I feel for her. I like really kind of worry about her a little bit and like worry about what happens the moment that like, if and when things are really exposed, what happens to her mental health in that moment?
Yeah. Well, I believe that even if video emerged of Brian Albert pulling John O'Keefe out by the back pocket and ripping that back pocket out onto the, from the car out onto the lawn or whatever, if that video ever emerged, I still believe that some of these people would say
100%.
That Karen Reed did it. But you know what must have happened was Brian found the body over there and he only moved it so it would be easier for the police to find. Something like that. Yep. Like they would say something like that, like anything to fit the narrative.
It's AI. They would say it's AI.
Exactly. Yep. What do you think about my nickname for you, the Velvet Knife? Thoughts?
I love it. And I love that Kyle Sharkey has now really taken it and run with it and made it a whole... Oh, there he is. Speaking of.
Kyle's here. Hi, Kyle.
That it is my call signal from something called Top Gun that I have not seen, but plan to someday.
You've never seen Top Gun?
I've never seen a single movie.
I podcast with a guy on my show, Crime Writers On, Toby, who has also never seen a movie. He's never seen Titanic. He's never seen Avatar. Yeah, he's never seen it. He's never seen, like, you bring something up. This first came up when we were talking once about the Goonies, and he's like, what's that? Like, he had no idea even what it was. He didn't even know it was a movie he hadn't seen. And so there's a whole thing where when we find out he has seen something, it's like the most surprising thing. He's like, oh, you know, that show St. Elsewhere that I used to watch in the 80s. I'm like, what? You watched the show in the 80s? Like, what is going on right now? Oh my God. People are very surprised at you. Very
people do get very proud of me now when I have seen a movie. I have seen Titanic. But yeah, I'm not a big
could movie she fan. Have could she have pulled him on the door if she had tried harder? Yes or no?
Could she have what?
Could she have pulled Jack on the door if she had tried
harder? Yeah. We're still talking about Karen. Yeah, of course. But like you know, she made a calculation where she was like, it's actually worse if you survive because you were kind of causing a headache in my life. This was fun for vacation.
Yes.
See you later. This is
good. You were my summer boyfriend.
Exactly.
Yep. Now you're going to go back to Canada. I'm going to tell everyone I had a relationship with a nice boy from Canada. Yeah. Someone here says, Stephanie says, do not waste your time feeling sorry for Carrie. She's enjoying being, I agree. She enjoys being a main character thoroughly. Good Absolutely. Point. I think it's less feeling sorry for her as a human being than feeling sorry for the archetype of a woman who would be so invested in other women liking them that they would participate in a murder cover up. So, let's speaking of Kyle Sharkey, this is a good transition. Tell me about your interest in FOIAs and how you got started doing that and why you have done the work you have around them.
This all started because, Kyle, this is all mostly Kyle, like entirely.
Who is Kyle? Kyle is just a guy, right? He's just a guy.
Kyle Sharkey, who are you? Show yourself. He's just a, very organized, very invested person in this, Karen Reed extended universe, as you call it, that has gotten really, interested in bringing to light the documents and information that we should see as the public. And one day recently he had corresponded with, I think this one was CPD, and they had quoted $50 for this FOIA request. And he was like, I don't really want to spend $50 to get this. Like, do you want to ask if anybody wants to like contribute to it? And I was like, sure. I posted about that. And within like 2 days, we had raised $800 with, again, the intention was to raise 50. Yeah. And Oksana, who is another fantastic person in this universe, had written on her Venmo, FOIA and find out. And I was like, oh, this is... I'm taking that name and I'm running with it. So we made the FOIA and Find Out Fund. And we are now, Kyle kind of had like a graveyard of requests that he had gone back and forth about and that they hadn't budged on the cost. And it was like, okay, well, this is going to go in the little graveyard because I'm not spending $450 to get these emails. And now we have a fund where it's like, actually, we can spend $450 to get those emails. So the other part of it that I really wanted to do, separate from the like fundraising part, is there have been a whole bunch of days on Twitter where I feel like suddenly everybody's like sharing documents and screenshotting and highlighting like different pieces of information. And I'm like, where is this coming from? Like,
exactly.
How do I get this document? Like, where is this? So I wanted to make a place where it was easily accessible for people to find all of the FOIA requests that we have done. And so I made a little website that's just like a Google Doc to be able to share everything that we've gotten so far so that anybody can just...
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks. Like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Hop over to there, grab whatever they need. And then that's been fun for me to kind of put together and go through and start to kind of piece other things together that I hadn't noticed on like the first run through. I always tell people like, we're not requesting these because we think that there's going to be an email that's like, hey, Mikey, like want to head over to Fairview and plant tail light at 11:30. Like Maybe they like, I wouldn't put it past them because they're not the sharpest tools in the shed, but they're not, that's not what we're looking for.
Well, there is. Hey, more. Hey, Colleen, thanks for editing that video for us. Like that shit's
true. That is true.
Yeah. I mean, the one thing I want to make clear to folks, I mean, I know people here know, but the internet doesn't seem to understand. FOIAs do cost money. Like I actually, we do them all the time in my newsroom. Occasionally they don't, but often they do. When Kevin and I were writing books together in 2007, 8, 9, and 10, it was like $1 a page for a trial transcript.
Yeah.
And it was, but then we found this trick that if you got them on CD, you could get it for free, but it was, then you had to pay for redactions or take time to wait for redactions. Yeah. So they do cost money. It's very common for them to cost money, but also I am going to say also hosting a website also costs money. It does. And I know this is not why you're doing it. And I know you're not doing this. But even if you said, I'm going to raise money and part of this money is for the time I'm spending doing this, completely within bounds, because all of us content creators are using this work and monetizing it based on the things that you have compiled. So if you were like, hey, you know, I'm going to pay myself $50 an hour for the time I'm putting into this. Fair. You're benefiting the community. You're benefiting other content creators and they are monetizing your work. So, but you said that's not what you're doing. I know that you are doing everything like to make this, do this like a public service. I think it's incredible. I think the FOIA website is the greatest thing to have happen to me personally in the last few months.
That's the goal.
Like you, I'm always like, where did this come from? And I like reading things myself. I don't like having someone tell me, give me a snippet of a document and tell me what it means. I like to read the whole context and decide for myself what it means. And hence my Coldplay theory of when Karen Reed drove away from 34 Fairview. Like I saw that and I'm like, I think this what this could mean. I can't believe I never heard the words Coldplay in either one of the trials. Like
I know.
I mean, you would think that would come out, right? Like the Coldplayness of it all would come out. But anyway, so speaking of, tell me about some of the interesting things you have gleaned from the recent batch of files that you've been able to obtain and post on this website.
Okay. Before I do that, you were talking about clarifying things from the internet. There's two other things I want to clarify that have come
100%.
Up. 100%.
Take your time.
Number one, I want to everybody to know that we do know the difference between FOIA and public records requests. These are public records requests. I understand that these are not federal documents. Public records requests and find out just didn't have the same flow as FOIA.
FOIA doesn't have me. FOIA is the shorthand. It's Freedom of Information Act. It is the shorthand for all of these requests. Everybody calls them FOIA, even if it's not technically FOIA. Okay.
Well, there were first a lot of people that were like, you're doing public records requests. They're not even FOIA. Okay. That's number one. Number two, there is a difference between things that are public and things that are free. Like there are a lot of things in our society that are public, but they're not free. Going to a Patriots game is public. It is not free. Going to Six Flags, it is public. It is not free. Just because something is public doesn't mean that it's free. So because the information is public doesn't mean that it is free. Just needed to clarify that.
Yes. Also, information being public doesn't mean it's easily accessible either. So great example, in my state, voter rolls. You can go to the Secretary of State's office and physically look at the voter rolls in the state of New Hampshire. You cannot take photos of them. You cannot copy them. You cannot, but you can go physically look at them. So if you are, say, a political operative who this is their job is, you can go there and look at them and write everything down or do your own data entry while looking at them. But they will not send them to you. Just because they are public does not mean they are accessible. You physically have to go there and look. And it's the same thing with pulling cases in a divorce filing. You physically have to go in New Hampshire to the county courthouse where those are. They're not going to be something you can pull up online. So there is sort of a sense of that. I mean, when we started doing records requests for our journalism back in the early 2000s, as I mentioned, it was relatively new that they were responding to these kinds of requests, and they didn't have staff for this then. And they still don't. Like your community is not hiring. I mean, yes, they have press. They very often have public relations officers, like public communications officers, but their job used to be to write press releases, to respond to media stories, to do all that stuff. And now their job is to oversee a department that's also like, okay, when, and that's also legal, but they're not hiring a person whose job it is to go with a magic marker and go through things. Like, this is somebody's extra work that they're doing at their job. So,
well, usually, and it is very interesting if that person who's doing the media stuff, if their role is also to do the FOIA stuff, because those a lot of times contradict each other. Like, if their role has been to spin, like, this was a great investigation and we did everything by the books, and they're responding to emails from the newspaper saying, like, yes, we stand with Michael Proctor, blah, blah, blah. And then their role is also to go through and redact these public documents. Those are contradicting roles.
Yeah. I just want to be clear. Your voter roll does not say who you voted for. Voter roll is who's registered to vote and where they live. That's what a voter roll is. It's not who you vote for is private. And it is, and you do not put your name on a ballot. In case you've never noticed, you don't actually write your name on a ballot. You walk into your voting place, you vote, you put your ballot in a little machine or you hand it to somebody, and your name is not attached to it. So voter roll literally is who is registered to vote, what party they're registered to vote in, and where they live. That's what a voter roll is.
And doesn't it also have which elections you voted in?
So yes,
like if you
which
voted
election.
In the midterms,
correct.
Yeah.
So this is why it sometimes comes up that, like, a person running for office hasn't voted in 16 years. That's known. It's known if you voted, but not who, how you voted. Yeah. And New Hampshire is very opaque because 60%, I believe, of our citizens are registered undeclared. Because where I live, you can walk into the polls, re-register as a different party right there, and then vote in that primary. Are you going to show me your absentee ballot?
No.
Look at you.
I'm going to show you.
You actually
somebody
can
just
vote.
Said, yeah, somebody just said you need a Deitch for DA lawn sign on your front lawn. I just got it yesterday.
I saw that on Twitter. What do you think of Deitch?
I think I'm excited to interview him.
Yeah? Is he going to come on your show?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's incredible. And you're actually, yeah. I mean, it's a good idea that he's coming on your show because you are a resident of Norfolk County. Like, he could come on our show, but how is that going to help him? You know,
right.
Except for, I mean, people who watch my show have heard his name. If they live in Norfolk County, if they watch my show, they're probably already voting for him. But you probably have a reach in your personal community where you having that sign on your lawn, him talking to you actually will benefit him in some way. What are you going to ask him about?
That's what I'm hoping. I don't want to go too much into that yet.
No
I
worries.
Have a scheduling call with his team tomorrow. So I'll know a little bit more about we'll have a final date and time and what it will look like. But I'm just excited. So how I feel about him, I think that he is the person that he's the right person for this job in this moment. I think that there are a lot of elections where it's kind of like, you know, whoever has some amount of experience, like Greg Connor would be a great candidate in another timeline where things are going great in the DA's office and we just want more of the same. And hi, Leslie, thank you. If things were going well and everything was normal, Greg Connor would be the right candidate for the job. And Adam Deitch would probably still be in his federal position and not
he quit to do this.
Yeah.
Like he quit to do this. Imagine that.
And so one thing I do want to ask him, like I want to dig a little bit more into his comment about he said on the trail a few times, like, and I literally said out loud, like, what is going on in Norfolk County? Like, I want to know a little bit more about why that led him to the DA's office versus like the Massachusetts. Why did he go to the head there, not the head of the Massachusetts State Police? Why not to the local police? Like, what? How did he identify the DA's office as the head of this problem?
Yeah. One question I have for him, if I got a chance to talk to him, is how frustrated, I mean, we know from records that that the federal investigation came to a very different conclusion than the Norfolk County DA's investigation. We know that because we saw it in writing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Was it frustrating to watch a trial in which information that potentially contradicted what they knew was presented as fact by prosecutors? That's what
and
I want to know.
Still circulated as fact among like a subset of the general public.
Right. I'm curious to know what that felt like whether, mm-hmm. you know, while watching the trials, how folks in the office felt about that. Because that's just like, you can imagine living in reality. I mean, a lot of us experience this every day. We live in reality and we see another version of the world sort of everywhere around us. And we're like, how is that possible? Like, the sky literally is blue. What is going on? Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's that. I'm curious about that. I'm also curious about, and I know that he can't answer, what do you know that we don't know? I know he can't.
Right.
But I am curious about whether or not, are there things we will never know that we would find illuminating? That's right. I would just leave it there. And
also, like, are there things that we will never know, period? Or is there a way that we're going to know them?
Correct. Like key cycle 1162. Yeah. I die on the hill of that not being the right key cycle.
No, that's her. That's them putting the car on the tow truck. I can prove that beyond a reasonable doubt.
Yeah. I think too, like, did you see in the new dump, there's that video of Nathan starting her car in the driveway of the O'Keefe's house, of the O'Keefe house twice, mm-hmm. Where did he live? Not Fairview.
Meadows, one Meadows.
Meadows, yeah. Nathan went out and started her car, turned it off, started again. Like, the idea that they were able to do this backward calculation about why this is the right key cycle because of when they knew she drove. I'm like, how do you know where she drove and where? And what are you talking about? How do you know how many times the car was started? It's freaking freezing out. Anyway, so walk me through some illuminating things you've discovered as you've been pouring through the recent document things. Curious to know what some of your new takeaways are.
Okay. Well, first, I've been somebody that kind of like sits back. I like want to give you guys the information and then have everybody else kind of like pour through it. The like 3,000 page documents have really been like overwhelming for me. But like I said,
yeah, but a lot of them have nothing on them. A lot of them are just like, tomorrow's court schedule is X, or it's like a transcript of Body in the Snow episode 4, which is like 500 pages long. So you can actually scroll through a lot of that stuff.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Exactly. And that's why I kind of get like I lose interest so having gone through now and uploading them and kind of trying to pull out pieces from these documents has actually like kind of forced me to look a little closer. And then I ended up in a rabbit hole. If you want to pull up that I shared down below, I ended up in a rabbit hole of the the Cruiser GPS data. So
who's Cruiser?
So Kyle requested the Cruiser GPS data of each officer who said that they found taillight on the days that they found taillight.
What?
So and the one caveat with this is for some of them, you'll see that like their car wasn't at Fairview at the time that they said that they found taillight. The annoying thing about that is they can always say, yes, shout out to Corey Hopkins, always and forever. The officers can always say like, oh yeah, well, we didn't take my cruiser. I took my personal vehicle that day. So all of these are kind of like defensible for them.
Everything is defensible. Like,
it's not the smoking gun, except for one piece that I was very interested in. So this was the evidence bag from collected by Trooper Proctor on February 11th that he said he found 3 pieces of clear plastic and 5 pieces of red plastic at 34 Fairview at 9 a.m.
Okay.
And then...
And the alleged plastic is that we're seeing in that photo?
Yes. Why?
It's okay. You mean that? Want me to unshare it for a second?
Yes. Please.
let's let you sort that out privately. There's nothing worse than typing in front of other people.
There. I had it on. single page and continuous scroll. There we go.
Got it.
Okay. So this is Michael Proctor's cruiser GPS data. It looks very messy because I was just screenshotting from like a table, but basically this column is the date. This column is the time.
Yep.
This column is like whatever the car was doing. This column is the miles per hour that the car is going. Mm-hmm. And then this column is the latitude, the longitude, and this column is the latitude.
Yeah, those are the GPS coordinates. So like, yeah.
Where the car was on GPS. So on February 11th, he says he collected this evidence from 34 Fairview at 9 a.m. However, we can see, and like the interesting thing was from this, that he actually was at 34 Fairview around 9 a.m. at like 8:50. Mm-hmm. He's driving here. So this is 8:47. He's driving. And now 8:47, 14 seconds, his car is stopped. He's 0 miles an hour, 0 miles per hour, 0 miles per hour. And where he stopped, the longitude and latitude is 34 Fairview. Mm-hmm. Then at 8:53, he starts driving again. And now he leaves 34 Fairview, doesn't go back there at all. So he is at 34 Fairview for a total of 6 minutes. Mm-hmm. And in those 6 minutes, he found all of these pieces.
Mm. He didn't.
So did you find all of those pieces or did you bring all of those pieces to do a photo shoot?
Yeah. Yeah. that seems more likely. I mean, my question has always been like, wouldn't a better story be the homeowner called and said they see some red stuff on their lawn? So we responded. Wouldn't that be the better version of the story?
Every single one of their lies has a better lie that would have been more believable.
I agree. That
we wouldn't have even asked questions. I go back to Chris Albert and Colin Albert's story of Chris being like, and then I walked home, I ran up the stairs, I didn't get in the shower, I jumped right into bed, I immediately fell asleep, and then Colin came in, woke me up, kissed me on the, why didn't you guys just say, we both got home at the same time?
Because yeah, that's the time. Or I don't remember when we got home.
Right.
Like people who didn't do it, like, you know, all the Innocence Project lawyers, when they talk about actual innocence of their clients, the one thing that so many of these cases have in common is that the person who was accused of the crime does not remember what they were doing on that day. Because people don't. If you ask me what I did 3 Tuesdays ago, I can tell you I probably went to my office because I often go to the office on Tuesday, but I can't say that for sure. I don't know what time. I don't know what I had for breakfast, although it's always a donut from Market Basket. So it's probably a donut from Market Basket. Market Basket, by the way, makes some great donuts. Really good donuts. Hidden gem. You have Market Basket where you live, right?
Yeah, it's not close by. So I don't.
You probably live in a fancy town then if you don't have a Market Basket in your town.
Yeah, I live in the same town that Brian Albert and Nicole Albert now live in.
Oh no.
They're my neighbors.
Are they still together? Because you always hear rumors that they're not.
Both their cars are there.
Oh, okay. Well, good for them. Good for her, because he's such a catch. Talk about of all the women. I mean, I feel bad for Nicole, and don't at me for saying feeling bad. When I see if they feel bad, it's subjective. I don't feel bad for them. Mm-hmm. Like I would bring them into my home and give them shelter. I mean, if there's a scale of feeling bad for people in this story, she is the most unhappy looking person. This person.
Yeah.
Rebecca, in the morning, you need to eat at least 25 grams of protein. Make sure you get your protein early in the morning. No. Sorry, not doing that. I just had 2 Eggo waffles. I'm fine. I'm still alive.
They make protein waffles now.
I don't like when things are one thing, but it pretends to be something else. Like, I don't like the protein. I don't like diet soda. I don't like protein and waffles, except for Diet Dr. Pepper, which I love. I don't like protein and waffles. I don't want like protein fruit. Hate it. Just give me that. I want to know what the actual, I mean, I love hard boiled eggs. So just so you know, I sometimes do eat like 2 hard boiled eggs in the morning. So it must make you happy, but mostly.
And then your whole house smells for a little while because that's my issue with making hard boiled eggs.
I boil them all at once. And then even your fridge smells. It's like, every time you open the fridge, it's as someone said, they make protein Pop-Tarts. So gross. My whole thing about protein is, I know that as human beings, we need protein to build muscle or whatever, but this new thing, we're eating as much protein as possible. There's no fucking way that can be good either. There's no way that can be good. Anyway, so Nicole, she seems very unhappy. She looks so much older now than she looked 2-3 years ago. This has really taken a toll, I think, on her whole psyche. Plus, what Lenihan wrote about her in his book is unforgivable.
Especially compared to, it was like, Jen is like petite and beautiful and fun and amazing. And Nicole bears the all generations of Irish poverty is bearing on her face at all times, sinking it to the ground with gravity. And it's like, oh no.
You basically just said there's a pretty sister and there's an ugly sister. You could have just said that. You could have just said that if you wanted to. And that still would have been pretty fucking mean. Oh my God. I feel so bad swearing in front of you. I have to put money in the swear jar after the show.
Everybody says that. And no, I don't.
Well, you have. So one thing that you and my stepdaughter have in common is you're a born teacher. I can tell you're the kind of person that little kids probably gravitate toward you. If like, if you're in line somewhere and someone's little kid gets loose, like they will run up to you, right?
Yes.
You have the same thing my stepdaughter has. You have a very open face. You have like wide set, big eyes. You look like a Disney character. Which she also kind of does. She has this like very one, she has a very wondrous high pitched voice. You have a kind of a wondrous higher pitched voice. You're not as high pitched as hers, but like you are a magnet. And so when someone is a magnet for children, you feel, I feel dirty around you because I'm like, there's nothing I can do that's too polite to be with this snow white gem of a person. Like I feel bad about it. Anyway, so when I swear, just so you know, you might not care, but I am going to compensate myself for that later.
That's a very fancy swear jar.
I got it for my birthday. I should donate some of this to the FOIA fund. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to send some back to the FOIA fund.
I've also said the FOIA fund is set for a while because the more money that we have coming in right now, the more I feel like we need to be doing more. And I'm like, I don't have a ton. I'm a normal mom. I really don't have a ton of time in the day. And so people are like, where can I donate? And I'm like, la, 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 I can't hear you.
Yeah. Yes, I'm sure the other cool mom at church yoga. How did you know there was yoga too? There was step aerobics and yoga, both of those things. The other cool mom, the cooler mom, did in fact have protein shakes and is a clean eater. I was a clean eater in my 30s. I got so thin and so buff. If you look at my wedding pictures to Kevin, I look incredible. My head was also too big for my body, and I 100% definitely had an eating disorder. So I honestly think the donut from Market Basket is a far better way for me to go personally. Better than, plus I think that people who all they talk about is what they ate today. I think that's very boring. You know,
I feel like that yoga mom, did she at some point start selling like supplements for like Alani or Beachbody or something?
No, because she was rich. She's rich.
Yeah.
I had a tennis court. Like they lived in a beautiful, and their house is like right. They moved. By the way, fast forward to like this year. Okay. She is part owner in like a boutique in my town. And I shop there a lot. Yeah. I shop there a lot, but it's a hobby job. Like she didn't like, her husband's in finance. Like she never worked when her kids were growing up, but she and her friend like started the store together. And it's honestly one of my favorite stores. I go there all the time. So because I'm like, I go there, I've gotten to know her better. And guess what? She's just super fucking normal. Like she's not cooler than me. She's normal. Mm-hmm. And of course she is, but you definitely put people, like you cast them as characters. I would not have said what she told me to say in front of a grand jury ever. But yeah. So
there's a lesson there. Everybody's just a normal person.
Yeah. Everyone is just a normal person. So what else have you seen in these documents that has popped out to you that you find interesting? You want me to put this back up? I want to put this back up again. Just hold on 1 second.
So these were, so this was the evidence bag from February 8th.
Okay.
Where they found taillight at 12 p.m. And that day, Proctor's car was at the district attorney's office the entire day. So again, that's one where it's like, he could just claim that like he went with Yuri. They didn't testify that they went together. He could claim that he took his personal vehicle. That wouldn't make a ton of sense because the morning actually does start with him at his house, which I like kind of docks them in this, but it's not my fault because their cruisers were at their house and that's the GPS. But, so like there is a story that I'm sure he could make up where, oh, my car was being serviced that day and I took so-and-so's cruiser instead or something like that. But if we're just going by the record, he says he collected this at 12, but his car was not at 34 Fairview.
Yeah, of course not.
This date, February 10th, is like a day that,
you know what he's doing? You know what he's doing? Okay, I'm not going to put this on you. When I do my tax returns, okay, I know that I donated 5 bags of clothes this year, right? Mm-hmm. Do I remember when I brought them to the Salvation Army?
Yes.
No. So I look at like what I know it was it was sometime in the spring. And it's okay. Mm-hmm. You can report me to the IRS for this. It's fine. It was sometime in the spring. It was sometime in maybe April because that's spring. And then I'm like, what days are they open? Monday through Thursday. Yeah. I go to Concord on Tuesdays. It's probably a Tuesday. Like, let's just say it happened that day.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
It was less than $300 in donations. So it's not right. It's not even something I need to receive for, but like he's doing this though with criminal evidence. It's not the same exactly. As when did you donate the bag of clothes? He's just like, well, let's just say it was on February 8th. Let's just say that. Cause that's a day that existed on the calendar.
I also, there is a part of the collecting the taillight that like, the more I think about it, the more ridiculous it is to me, because if you're doing it just to prove that it was Karen, first of all, the amount of taillight that they collected in the CERT team search was not enough to say it was Karen. Mm. They hadn't, by the time that Karen was arrested, they hadn't matched that taillight to her car yet. They didn't send it to the crime lab for another month and a half. So they don't know that it is like a, whatever they ended up calling it, a mechanical fit to her car. So they arrested her based on there being 1, 2, 3, unclear how many pieces of red tail light because they broke or didn't break and they labeled it wrong, and 2 pieces of clear tail light. That could just as easily be kind of like trash in the road.
Thank you, honey kid, for the $5. We really appreciate it. Them being the standard for normal moms makes me more proud to be a weird mom. Yes.
Yes.
Sorry to interrupt you, Emily.
I felt like that too when they called Donna Adelson a normal grandma. I was like, oh no, nobody wants to be that kind of normal. So they arrested her on there being like trash in the road, basically, because they hadn't even matched it to her car. But then at a certain point, once you're like, okay, we've collected a lot of tail light pieces from the place that we think there was a collision, like, you don't need to reassemble the entire taillight to prove your theory that this happened. Like at a certain point, you're like, okay, we have, enough pieces that it feels like this car really did hit a person. We're going to send it off to the crime lab and see if this matches up with her car. Okay, it does. Like there's your evidence. And it is weird to me that they thought that they needed to reassemble the entire taillight. But that is why they keep on going back, and eventually end up assembling the entire taillight just to give Ash Valier like a real headache.
Yeah. But also, so much of what they did in terms of evidence and proving things, whatever, was all about disproving the right. House defendants did it. Like they right. did so much work not to prove that Karen did it, but to disprove that Colin Albert, Brian Higgins, Jen McCabe, Matt McCabe were aware and colluded around covering this thing up that was probably an accident inside their house. Like everything they did, hiring Whiffen, hiring Jessica Hyde, reassembling a whole friggin' ass taillight. I have never heard of that happening in a collision
exactly.
case before. But it's all to prove the opposite. It's all to disprove a defense that she's putting on, which is, if you think about the use of resources there, if there is a chance that Karen Reed hit John, which there isn't, But if they earnestly believe there was a chance, they would have gotten, and again, I'm just going to say this for the record, I don't know that they didn't do this because they're horrible disclosure. There's Brady violations all over this case. They would have contacted Toyota, which has the Lexus database, and they would have gotten that data because that data would have showed that she had something with her car. Now, I know this because I know somebody who works for a company that does that work. And she told me in absolutely no world where this was in dispute would a prosecutor not get that data from Toyota. Because the data from Toyota has so much more in it than all this other stuff they've pieced together. And the only way that Toyota wouldn't have that data would be if Karen had opted out of that service, which almost no one does because being in that service gets you a bunch of stuff. Like, you know, the voice control in your car and all that stuff. Like I belong to the digital services for my car because you get stuff. I mean, you pay, but you get stuff. But you also are, you know, you're sharing. And when you're getting traffic information in your car from your infotainment, that's coming from other cars that are also sharing their data. Mm-hmm. So it's all there.
And her car was so new that I bet she was still under the like free warranty probably. Of like yep. the first, you get the first 3 months of like Sirius XM.
She probably still had Sirius free. Yeah. Yep.
Yes.
Yep. And 100%. She, but I don't. So I just don't think they either did it and it did not have what they wanted in it. So they just never said they did it, or they didn't do it because they thought it probably wouldn't have what they wanted on it.
And the internet's response to that is, well, because it was a clipping, it wouldn't register. It was not a head on. It wasn't X, Y, and Z. And it's like, well, then it wouldn't have killed John.
Right. Like, but then it also would have had her ways. Right. It would have had more, better GPS data, better. You would have been able, you wouldn't be guessing the key cycle. there's a bunch of stuff it has that like the stuff that they pull from the car doesn't. Like their database has stuff on you that you don't know, that you never think about because it's not important to you. They use it for research and development for new safety in the cars. Mm-hmm. They use it to inform their big data stuff, like, you know, just like they, when you're doing reCAPTCHA to get on a website, they're actually training big data sets to fit pieces together, like not literal puzzle pieces, but you're teaching to make correlations. You're helping with things like facial recognition or Google Maps. I'm sorry if you can hear that. My dog is gagging. He's fine. He gets stomach stuff all the time. He's not dying today. I promise. He's had 3 Pepcid already. He'll be fine. I think they either did it and didn't tell us, didn't tell Reed, or they didn't do it because they didn't want to do it for a reason. So what date are we on now here? You were saying 2/10?
February 10th. I could do an entire show just on the date of February 10th because it is like a wild day. That's the day that they interview Chris and Julie Albert. Proctor also sends an email that we got in one of the dumps. I just sent it to Kyle this morning when I was talking about this. So Proctor sends an email on February 10th at 5:40 that says, in the days after the incident, we have received more pieces of the taillight from the scene. And that has always just like destroyed my brain because it's like, if you're a detective doing a real investigation, why would you use the words, we have received more taillight? Like, we have uncovered more taillight. We have investigated. We have discovered more taillight, but received is weird. He sends that email at 5:40. In their police report with the Julie and Chris Albert interview, it says that they're interviewing them at 5:30. That part's not possible. Mm. So this date, February 10th, Yuri says that at 9:15 a.m., he's over at Fairview finding 14 pieces of glass and plastic fragments. No, he's just not there at all. That doesn't happen. We don't need to dox his address, but he's home here. Mm-hmm. And then driving, goes to the Norfolk County District Attorney's office and spends the day there and doesn't touch his car again until 8:03 p.m. He, again, could claim that he was in Proctor's car. The pieces that he finds that day, the pieces that he finds that day are just 14 pieces of just glass. Like, it's like, I mean, some are plastic, I guess, but they're just these clear pieces. There's no red pieces that he found. February 10th was like a, there was a huge, there was the warmest day in history in February that day. There was no more snow left. If there was anything else on the lawn, like, you would have just seen it. It's not waiting for the snow to melt. It's not underneath. There was literally news articles.
The grass
about
is dead.
How,
yeah.
Yes. Like, there was news articles about how people were outside, like in boats and running in shorts. Like, there was no more snow. Stop lying to me.
Yeah. It's, they didn't find this stuff on the lawn. I'm so confident of that. I mean, because, you know, yeah, it's really stupid. How much did it bother you as somebody who cares about the English language that they kept just interchangeably using the words glass and plastic through this whole trial, including Hank Brennan, the prosecutor?
I couldn't even tell if they were just confused or if it was intentional, because they wanted people to think that there were like glass light bulbs within the taillight. Like, that's the only kind of nefarious thing I could think of.
Why do you use the word nefarious, Emily? Why would you say that word? That moment.
Nefarious.
Yes. You know, it's interesting. One of the things that I had to tweet about from the new Something's Off Twitter account at Mel and Rebecca, feel free to follow us there. There's a few big pieces of smoking gun evidence that people use against Karen Reed when they are not talking in good faith about the case. One is her saying, I hit him, which she did not say. Certainly did not say in the back of a cruiser while praying, and never said. I don't even believe she said, could I have hit him? I think that was incepted into her. And the way she interpreted it was saying, if I said something, it would have been, could I have hit him? Whatever. But who cares? If she said that, fine. She never said, I hit him. That's one. Number two, there are fragments of taillight and glass in John O'Keefe's clothing. No, there were not. That was never proven at either trial. There are no photos of stuff embedded in the fiber, nothing like that. What they did prove was that when the technician poured the bag out with his shirt in it, there was stuff in the bag with the shirt. And it's like, did you observe it in the fibers? No, those observations were not made because the shirt was in the bag with some shit from the floor, because the clothing was like collected from the hospital floor or whatever. And God knows, and we all know there's no chain of custody logs in that evidence. It all just went over to the lab like at some point after being in Proctor's custody for a really long time. Someone says her voicemails are seen as smoking gun because, you know, the smartest murderer in the world.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
What they would do instead of calling their partner and saying loving things to try to prove they weren't mad, they would call their partner and be full on fucking Massachusetts screaming at their partner for what a pervert he is, because that is how a murderer covers up their tracks. Yeah. How many women do you know in Massachusetts who probably leave voicemails like that once a month? Because I know some.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Maybe not in your circle.
But yes, definitely. I think her voicemails to me are like, oh, you guys should have broken up. Like, you guys were not, you were in a bad place in your relationship. It is not, oh, you just took his life at
That's
all.
Right.
No part
That's
of
right.
that makes me think that.
It's been whitewashed, right? The other thing that's been whitewashed is John. I mean, John was a full, whole ass person. He was not a perfect man who was great to everyone. Great. I mean, he was a complicated guy. He clearly had some control issues because he didn't want people walking into, he would freak out. People were scared to walk into his house without their shoes. So clearly he had some like OCD
slash control issues. Except now they laugh about the fact that they do it. now, which I
exactly
love that,
exactly he you know the whole cycle of jealousy and toxicity between the two of them is very apparent. It's like really, really apparent. And you know, if he did say want to go back to their house so he could confront someone about or be that's not healthy. That's not a real relationship. Right. It's not healthy. The fact that she was stepping out on him behind his back, clearly the relationship was not great. It's very interesting. Aiden's been talking about the original tip he got from the guy, the former Brian Johnson. He had sent me those screenshots a while back. And the one piece that stuck out to me, which he mentioned on his stream last night, was that Brian Jensen said that he heard she had something going on with somebody who was in the house and they were going to be, and John wanted to confront him about that. So like the Higgins story was right there the whole time. And it, and like that, yeah, that
also does make it like, if I ever had the chance to just talk to Karen, not like this, but like in real life, I would want to know, like, why didn't you tell your team about, like, why wasn't your initial thought on day one? Like, wait, was Brian Higgins there? Like there, there was something. I know it's kind of the same way that you were talking about John. I think Karen also, everybody felt so much compassion for her that it was kind of like, we can't ever question like anything that she said or did, because we don't want people to think that like we're saying she's guilty. I don't mean at all by saying this, that like I think that she did anything, but it is interesting to me that her instinct wasn't to run inside the house that morning and be like, what happened here when I dropped him off? Like that part is something that I can't relate to. And then like, why didn't she in her first couple of meetings with her attorneys say like, yeah, I was like texting this guy, Brian Higgins. Like, I think he was in love with me. John hated that. Like, where was he? Oh my gosh, he was in the house. Like, let's look more into that.
Right. Well, she again was telling her story again and again and again and massaging it to the parts that make you seem like a better person or that are funnier or that land better. Everybody does that. And she made a mistake by not disclosing. That was a huge mistake that she made. Okay, so here's what the guy Brian Johnson said to Turtle Boy from my CI. Now, he means, you know, informant, confidential informant. He's going to be amazed at the amount of corruption and conspiracy. Okay, I met that girl with Johnny. She was very nice. She has a brain tumor and colitis, and I think more. I don't think she has a brain tumor, right? She has an MS and
they had said that. Yannetti had said that once in a pretrial hearing. There was definitely something going on where she was had doctor's appointments that they were like looking into something. I don't know that that was ever
all right.
confirmed.
So it doesn't matter. I'm just curious. Okay. I met that girl with Johnny. She was very nice. She has a brain tumor and colitis, and I think more. She wanted to go home, but John wanted to party. This is the quote. I think there's something else going on with one of the other wives or John's girlfriend. He may have gone there to confront the guy. This was on April 17th, 2023. This was the tip where Turtle Boy Aiden found out about the case and started looking into it. He did not find out about it from Karen. He found out about it from this cop, Brian Johnson. And if you read the Vanity Fair story, that was in there as well. People say she does have a brain tumor. That's very sad. I did not. I mean, I guess I had heard that, but it's also none of my business what's going on with someone's health. So except it becomes my business when the cop calls her Crohn's disease a leaky balloon knot that leaks poo.
Exactly.
Yeah. So someone wants to know who says this. This is Brian Johnson, the ex-Duxbury cop who had worked with John O'Keefe and knew him in the past. He is the original tipster to Aiden Carney that he should look into the Karen Reed case. So the defamation suit is claiming that Karen Reed reached out to him, fed him all this stuff, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. He did end up being in touch with Karen Reed through Natalie. And Karen was thrilled that someone was interested in writing about her case, as she should have been. She got a huge gift with him, but she was not the precipitator of his coverage of the case. This guy, Brian Johnson, was. So
also knowing what you know about Aiden. So their claim is that Karen said to Aiden, like, listen, I need to tell you something. Like, I really did hit John, but I don't want to go to jail for this. So if you cover for me, then like there will be a big payday for you because you can help me frame these innocent people. Like their claim is that conversation had to have happened because at some point Karen had to have let Aiden know that she really did do it. And both of them were now doing defamation, whatever the verb is, were defaming these people intentionally because they knew the truth. You think if Aiden, first of all, knowing that he records everything, this conversation would have been recorded for his own records, not for publicizing it, but for his own reporting. You think that if he knew that this person who was on trial had just confessed to him and now wanted to frame all of these other people, you think Karen wouldn't be in ratchet madness? You think he wouldn't have immediately written an article, person on trial who claims that they're innocent really is guilty and I can prove it? Like, there's his payday. He doesn't have to wait for a payday.
Even if I, okay, so let's not even paint him in that good a light, because I agree with you 100%. But even if he had decided to collude with her on something insane like that, which he did not do, when he was pissed at her, that's when he would have said it.
Yeah, because, exactly.
I mean, he was not, by the way, people say Aiden was super pro cop. Who, I don't know who they say was super pro cop. Aiden was never super pro cop.
Aiden what?
I don't know.
Aiden was very like thin blue line. Like
he wasn't. He's been reporting on the police since like the mid 2010s. Like,
I think that it was the way that I kind of imagine it is he was under the impression like there are a few bad apples and I want to expose
you're probably
them.
Right. You're probably right.
But like on the whole, like all cops are good and I'm going to help like root out the bad ones. And I think this experience has like challenged that a little bit.
I think
for
that's
him,
right.
Where he's like, yeah.
I think that's right. But he also lives in a part of Massachusetts where the police are not nearly as bad as they are in the eastern part of Massachusetts. I mean, my understanding is that Western Massachusetts has no problems. They have their own problems, but their problems look a little different than the problems over here. That's where they send people, send bad people. And I know that Aiden has some thoughts on crime that I don't align with mine. Like, I know his thoughts on police, and he has a lot of thoughts that don't align with mine. And that's fine, because we have obviously agree on a lot that is really important and some more important in some cases than the things we disagree on. But what were we talking about before? Oh, we were talking about the collusion, the lawsuits.
Yeah.
So that's one of the premises. Another premise is that there was a whole thing in it for him just to ruin these people's lives. What do you think about that?
If he wanted to ruin somebody's life, he had the Brockton Facebook group that he was just pulling things from. He already had a whole, that was already happening. That's not a thing that people do. You're not just, that's just too weird. It's like, oh, there are some strangers. I could ruin like 15 strangers' lives. Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah. Rebecca, you and I disagree big time on a donut being an adequate breakfast. I didn't say it was adequate. I said it worked for me. Sheesh. I love you, girl. I'm assuming it's a girl. This is very woman coded, this whole diet conversation.
Be gentle, make peace.
Yeah, be kind, be gentle, make peace. Be kind, be gentle, make peace. Please. Judge me for my ego waffle
storyline.
Be kind, be gentle, make peace was clearly not the person who sent me the waffle maker from my Amazon. Which
she's
I cannot
making protein
wait.
Waffles.
This weekend, I'm going to bust it out. I'm going to make like a batch of waffles that will last me through the week. I'm so excited about it. What did you have for breakfast this morning, Emily?
See, I was trying not to get into this conversation about eating because I haven't had breakfast. I probably won't get to because then I have to go pick up Carter. And then by the time it's lunch and we get home, if he lets me eat a couple bites of something, that's a lucky day. I don't know. I don't know how people adult. In real life, I'm.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dix.com/scorecardplus for details.
Feeding myself is one that I'm not.
Just add protein powder to your coffee? No.
I tried that and there was like floating chunks of baby powder in my coffee and I hated it.
Okay, TC Nutters. I didn't say all teachers were good. I said teachers used to be the most respected members of our society. and now people hate them for made up fake ass reasons. I did not say, of course not all teachers are good. There are teachers who have like molested kids and shit. They're not all good. For God's sakes.
All
don't put words in my mouth, TC and Eric. Love you, but don't do that.
The sentence frame, like all anything is anything, is never true. Like you cannot make that statement about anything, and we never intend to. It's not all, you can't, no.
Brooke's been eating Oreos for breakfast. Oreos, delicious, by the way. Okay, 25, okay, here we are, Steph. 25 grams of protein before 9 a.m. I am actually interested in pooping, which would not happen to me if I ate 25 grams of protein before 9 a.m. I just wouldn't. I know my body, man. I know everyone knows their own body, right? Okay, so here's one thing I want to address also, and then I'm going to wrap up and let you go because I know you have stuff to do and I want you to be able to eat before you do your stuff. Chris Albert wasn't at Fairview, supposedly calls the cops every 10 seconds over harassment. Brian Albert was publicly at Fairview, moves not a peep until the news interview and nothing since. What are your thoughts on Brian Albert?
Brian Albert scares me. I think I always get scared saying this, but I've said it before, so I might as well just say it again. I think if people kind of reframed their understanding of this family as more of like Brian Albert being more like a mob boss, and then I think a lot makes sense. Mm-hmm. I think it makes sense why people would be scared of him. I think it makes sense why people would cover for him. I think it would make sense that he would have dirt on people. That is how I kind of like see him in my mind, which scares me to say out loud. So I'm sorry. I love you. Don't hurt me. I think I picture him just like pulling the strings behind the scenes. And yes, this exactly. Brian Albert needs to be recentered as the king of the mountain in this, because that is who Jen McCabe is really protecting. I think they're protecting Colin. I think they're protecting the whole thing. Like I said at the beginning, like, I don't fault them for not telling the truth about whatever happened to John. I wouldn't expect them to. Right. Like, that is for the police to uncover, because like Brian Koberger didn't just walk into a police department and say, hey, I want to let you guys know what I did the other day.
Right. Like, right.
You don't expect people to tell on themselves. That is why we have detectives and investigators and multiple police forces working on this. That is who I fault for all of this.
Well, final question about Brian Albert. If you ever watched my show, my husband was on the other day and he described Brian Albert as, quote,
what a good like vibe between you two. Also,
thank you.
By the way.
Thank you.
Just, like, smiling all the time.
He said that Brian Albert looks like Billy Joel fucked a cigarette. I know that you don't use that kind of language, but on a scale of 1 to 10, how accurate would you say that description is?
I think that is a 12 out of 10. That is spot on. Exactly. And like more and more each day, like every day that he like erodes a little bit, he's more and more accurate. Like when you see pictures of him from Boston's Finest, no, that was not that era yet. He is fully in his Billy Joel cigarette era.
He is. And we saw Billy Joel at Fenway a few years ago. That guy looks pickled. He is a pickled, pickled old man. His vices have ruined his voice. He gives zero shits. He loves to perform, but he does not look good. And so saying that,
he's still like selling out Fenway. So go him.
Good for him. Good for him. Yeah. Right. I mean, so is Paul McCartney. Anyway, I just want to say, Emily, I can't thank you enough for coming on the program. You are one of my heroes in this entire media creator universe around Karen Reed. You are so creative. Your energy is so wonderful. The way you open your tent and make alliances with people that I know are very different than you is something I admire and have tried to emulate. And you're just wonderful. And I hope that we can be friends.
We are friends. I appreciate that so much, really.
Yay.
We really are friends. And I'm so grateful to you and Mel for kind of like coming in here. And this space that you've created just feels like a more like professional version of what, like, I'm hopping on YouTube and I'm like, hey, so like, I don't know what I'm doing. And you guys are like, so we've run 17 other podcasts and I work in the radio and I do the X, Y, and Z. And I used to read ads and da, 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 da. And I'm like, okay. So like, they're like the real deal.
Well, we own microphones. That's the only difference. I have a studio in my house that I can't even use with this stupid platform. So I don't know how professional we are. And I swear a lot. But
I mean, but it all feels very professional to me. And like, and that you guys kind of bring a lens of like what what kind of like things in real life are supposed to look like, because you've been in this space for a while and like reporting on stuff like this. And you're like, this is just not normal. Like, I know that because I've seen the normal and now I see this and I can just tell you, and I trust you guys when you say that. I'm like, well, they're right.
Yeah. Well, you are the very best. And I can't thank you enough for coming on and sharing the mic with me. Mel is on a plane. She's very upset that she couldn't pop in and join us. She texted me late last night. She does owe you. You got to come back. You got to come back. When you find more stuff in the files and you talk about it, come back on and also share your findings with us, because Mel loves seeing stuff for herself. She really does. As do I. All right. Well, you go eat. Oh, I just want to, before we log off, thank you very much. ARR3669 for the 1999. Please become a member of the show. We do members only streams. Please consider sending a tip to Mel. She does a ton of hard work for the show. And yeah, I think that's all we got. So I'm going to stop this thing right now, because I can't do better than having you be here. Thanks, Mel. Thanks
Thank
so much,
so
Emily.
Much. Bye, guys.
All right. Bye. All right. See you guys soon. What a delight. Thank you so much for joining us today. And I will eat a donut when I go to Concord on Tuesdays. Sorry. That's what I like. It works for me. Bye, guys.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.